We don't have a clue what's happening. See? What's taking place in the body, how it heals itself, and so forth. See? But also it's stated like, semen is injected into the womb, and a child is conceived. For 9 months, that child grows. The mother doesn't have a clue what's taking place there. See? Comes out as a nice baby. See? So all these things are happening by the inconceivable potency of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada sometimes gets very heavy with the scientists. You know, claiming that they're advanced and they're this and that. But he'd always challenge them. And the reason for this is because they mislead the world into believing that there is no supreme being, that everything happens by chance. See? And they formulate so many theories, and they try to present them as facts. See? How life came about through evolution, how the world came about through Big Bang. See? So they presented these things as facts, and the innocent public becomes allured and attracted to these concepts. And so many of them became atheists because of that. So that's why Srila Prabhupada often becomes very heavy. See, very heavy with them. For example, he would say the chemical, it takes hydrogen and oxygen to produce water. So how much hydrogen and oxygen would it take to produce water for the ocean? See, he would challenge them like this. And so this is good because it's exposing their folly. So for two special reasons. One is that they're misdirecting the populace, and the other reason is they themselves are impeding their progress in spiritual life. See? They're impeding their progress in spiritual life. And one comes to the human platform, he should use his valuable time for self-realization. But instead, they do all these nonsensical research and all these different things, and Srila Prabhupada just gets angry with them all the time. So it's stated for all these things to take place within the world, the Lord has basically three energies. He has his superior energy, the marginal energy, and the inferior energy. The superior energy, from the superior energy, we have all the plenary expansions. We have the quadruple expansion of Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. And from that, there's 20 other expansions. And these 24 expansions, they control the spiritual realm, all the spiritual planets and so. The avatars, the Purusha avatars, the Guna avatars, the Leela avatar, the Manvantara avatar, and the Sakyavesha avatar, those help to maintain balance within the material world. The Purusha avatar, that's Karana Rakshasi Vishnu or Mahavishnu, from him comes innumerable universes. From the pores of his body, the universes comes as like little seeds, and they expand and form the universes. Then the Garbhodakshay Vishnu, he enters the universe within the from his body comes the Garbhodakshay ocean, and he stays there. Within, from his navel comes Lord Brahma, and so forth. And we know the whole creative process there. And then the Kishoradakshay Vishnu, from his expansions, his different expansions, he enters into the heart of all the living entities. And so he knows what's taking place. So through these, the Purusha avatars, the Lord practically creates the universes and maintains them. Then we have the Leela avatars, where the Lord comes from time to time to protect religion or to establish religious principles. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanibhavati bharata. See, whenever there is decline in religious principles, he comes to reinstate them and paritanaya sarana vinashasya dasa duskritam. He comes to vanquish the demonic forces and protect his devotees. So through the Leela avatars, this has been done. And then of course we have like Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Nishinga, Parshuram, Rama, Balaram, then we have Buddha and Kalki. And of course there is some more. It's stated that like there's the Kumar, Narada, and so forth. Dattatreya, Kapila, Hamsa, Hayagriva. All these different incarnations. Then you have the Guna avatar. And of course that's Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva. And they maintain, create, maintain and destroy the universes. And then you have the Manvantara avatar. The Manvantara avatar, they comes in the different Manvantara, or the reign of different Manus. And you have like Yajna, Vibhu, Satyasena, Hari, Vaikuntha, Ajita, Vamana. Then we have the Yuga avatars. And it's stated that these appear in different colors. But it seems that the Yuga avatar in Satyug, he comes as, is it Kapila? In a white complexion. And then in the next Yuga, he comes in red complexion. And that is that Varaha? Yagya. And then we know in the Dwarpa Yuga, he comes as the dark complexion, as Krishna. And in Kali Yuga, golden complexion, as Lord Chaitanya. So he comes to establish Yuga Dharma. And then we have the Sakya Vesha Avatara, see? And we know like Srila Vyasadeva and Kapila and Kardama and so many different personalities. And of course, now a lot of scholars also say it's Srila Prabhupada, see? If we studied what he's done for the preaching of Vedic Dharma, we could see that certainly he's been empowered. So through all these manifestations, the Lord is able to create the universes, maintain, and annihilate. And not only the universes, but the living entities also. So in the marginal potency, we have the living entities, the jivas. And the Lord allowed 8,400,000 species to satisfy their desires. See? And so when these living entities combine with the lower nature, see, the lower nature, material energy, earth, water, fire, air, ether, and so forth, then you have all these different forms. But the amazing thing here is that when these living entities enter into these forms, they become bewildered. And all the living entities, except those in the human species, actually believe that they are matter or they are the bodies. See? Because the force of illusion is so powerful that all these living entities fall into this misconception that I am this body. But when one comes to the human platform, he can able to understand Ahambrahmashmi. I am a spiritual being. I am not this body. And he has a chance to come out back of this illusion and go back into the spiritual world. See, and now we have this process of Krishna consciousness, which allows us to go back to the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada has tracked out the path nicely. And if we follow that path, certainly we can go back to Godhead. But sometimes, unfortunately, we allow so many other things to come in the way and we become complacent. Complacent to the point that we neglect our wrongs, we neglect our sadhana, and so forth. See? And this certainly can force us to take birth again. And as we see, the ages, as the age progresses, it's getting more and more difficult to take up the spiritual life, especially because of the forces of material nature. Within the Bhagavad Gita and the Sri Upanishad, some of the concept of this inconceivable potency of the Lord is mentioned here. In the Sri Upanishad is stated, Tad ejati tan naijati, tad dure tad fi antike. The Supreme Lord walks and does not walk. He is far away, but he is very near as well. He is within everything, and yet he is outside of everything. And Srila Prabhupada in his purport explains that the contradictions given here prove the inconceivable potency of the Supreme. With our limited knowledge, we cannot accommodate such contradictions. The Lord walks and he does not walk. Then in the Bhagavad Gita 9:4 stated, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina. By me in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And 5, nacha matstani bhutani. And yet everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, still myself is the very source of creation. Yata kasha stito nityam. As the mighty wind blows everywhere, always rest in ethereal space. Know that in the same manner all beings rest in me. So in 9:6 he says, all beings rest in me. And then he says, in 9:4, By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And then he says, and yet everything that is created does not rest in me. So one place he says, everything does not rest in me. And then he says, in 9:6, and all beings rest in me. You see? So Srila Prabhupada explains within the purport that this is the inconceivable nature of the Supreme Lord. And we cannot comprehend these with our limited material intelligence. See? The Lord is the source of all logics and reason. See? And what he's saying just seems to be contradictory. See? And yet it's difficult for us to comprehend. Then he says in 9:7, Sarva Bhutani Kunti. O son of Kunti, at the end of the millennium, every material manifestations enter into my nature. And the beginning of another millennium, by my potency I again create. So I like to discuss also a little bit of his potency through time. For example, in Satyuga, 1,728,000 years. That age, the human beings lives for 100,000 years. 100,000 years. Their body are gigantic. Not only the human beings, but all the living beings, they have longevity, sharp intelligence, strength. Those age also, strength is measured not in horsepower, but in elephant power. See? So one has the strength of so many elephants. See? And Lord Shiva was speaking to Parvati, and he says that in that age, the living beings are 21 cubits. 21 cubits. That's over 30 feet tall. See? And they're, in terms of intelligence, they can able to remember. They would hear the Shastra and remember. You don't have to write anything. They'd remember everything. See? Then the next age, Treta Yuga, that age goes for 1,296,000 years. And longevity is 10,000 years. Strength diminished somewhat, but it's still in elephant powers. Memory is still sharp. See, intelligence and strength, longevity, so many things are there. But it's diminishing. It seems like it's diminishing by one quarter. Yeah, like one quarter. Then the next age, Dwarpa Yuga. That age goes for 864,000 years. And then the lifespan is 1,000 years. Intelligence is still there, sharp. Strength is still great. And the size of the human beings are 7 cubits. In Treta Yuga, it's 14 cubits, which is 20-something feet. In Dwarpa Yuga, it's 7 cubits, which is like over 10 feet, 10, 12 feet. And then in Kali Yuga, Prayana Palishaha Sabya Kalosme Yuga, Manda Samanda Matayo Manda Bhagi Pajuta. See, in this age, men are short-lived, unfortunate, misguided, always corrupted. See? So in this age, everything diminishes, and his lifespan is 100 years. So from 100,000 years to 100 years. See? 100,000 years. So within these four ages, we have 4,320,000 years. which is one age. And then a thousand age makes the day of Brahma. It's a day of Brahma. And then all things are all living entities are destroyed, and they go into the body of Mahavishnu. See? And then they stay there for a night of Brahma, which is 4,320,000 years. And after that night, everything is manifested back again. So the Lord says here, what? At the end of the millennium, every material manifestation enter into my nature, and at the beginning of another millennium, by my potency again create. But what he's saying here, this is not at the end of Brahma's day, but at the end of Brahma's lifespan. So 4,320,000 times 360 times 100 times 2 gives you the lifespan of Brahma, 311 trillion years. And at that time, all the planets in the universes are destroyed. And everything merges into the Lord. And then they're remanifested again. See? All of this by the inconceivable potency of the Lord. But what is important to understand that for 4,320,000 years, all the planets are revolving at neck breaking speed. I mean, if you study the speed of the planets that they're revolving, see? For 4,320,000 years, without disintegrating, without anything happening to them, see? Then at that time, at the end of Brahma's day, some of the planets, not all the planets, are disintegrated, see? And then after Brahma's night, they are recreated again, see? But what is important to understand, that these planets are revolving at such speed for so long, for 4,320,000,000 years, without anything happening to it. See? So this is the inconceivable potency of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada always challenged the scientists in so many ways, and he's always heavy with them. They have a tricycle and they're trying to reach the moon. See? Sometimes he say like this. So we can see that without accepting the inconceivable potency of the Lord, we cannot understand how all these phenomena are taking place within this world. See? And so it is important that we develop the faith to accept this. And Lord Brahma was saying that sometimes all the universes are seen within the body of the Lord, and the same universes are seen outside. Like when Mother Yashoda was looking at Krishna's mouth, she saw all the universes within his mouth. See? When Markandeya Rishi, he had wanted to live a long time. When he met the Lord also, he saw the Lord, a tiny baby on a banyan leaf. And then suddenly he found himself within the body of the Lord and all the universes and everything. See? So all these miracles and mysteries are there because of the inconceivable potency of the Lord. And we have to accept that. And all these things are taking place. The scientists with their meager limited intelligence, what can they understand? With their little microscope and so, what can they understand? It's like my little glass trying to see these words here. They're trying to study some of the planets, really. It's not possible. So only by accepting the scripture can we understand the greatness of the Supreme Lord and the surrender unto him. And understand if we do this unflinchingly, we go back to the spiritual world where we don't have to face birth, disease, old age, and death continuously and all these miseries and so forth. So I'll stop here if there's any comment or question. Yes, I don't know, Prabhu there, and okay, Madam Mohan Prabhu.
was always thinking how Srila Prabhupada gave a name to the scientific method of seeing through that way. Do you remember? It was a doctor. You remember doctor? He lived in Kupa, under Kupa. He lived in the well.
Dr. Frog's philosophy.
And it was such a nice graphic example that you try to compare it to what you know. So sometimes I know one time I was laying down on the lawn, and if you lay down on the lawn in Florida, ants come. So two ants were walking over. So I imagined one ant said to the other ant, "I think it's uninhabitable. It's uninhabited." You know. So they couldn't see me. How are they to understand? They said, "Well, let's see. It looks like a good source of protein and a little junk." You know. So I mean, that's all that they could tell. And of course, after that, I moved. So it was an earthquake.
Definitely, yeah. In our limited perception, limited intelligence and vision and everything. Even like that Prabhupada was giving class the other day, their life on all the other planets. But we are only programmed to see in a certain dimension. You see, beyond that realm, we cannot see really. But if we are given spiritual vision or real vision, then we are able to see so many things. In fact, we might faint. Even right now here, really. If we give them real vision, really. There are so many other things that exist in here that we're not able to see. Yes, Prabhu?
Also, I mean, it's very true that the Brahma Vimohan Lila, many of the things that you're saying are so much applicable to the scientist and their lack of ability to understand the greatness of God and how his powers are working. But also for our purposes and our own practice of spiritual life, it's important to understand what is Lord Brahma's mood. And Lord Brahma's mood is that he's seeing now, for the first time, the beauty of the Madhurya Mayi Leela of Krishna, means the sweetness of his Leela. Because Brahma's a pure devotee, he's called Adikrita Dasya Bhakta, means he's empowered by God to do this work of creation. So he is a pure devotee. So it's explained in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Muyanti Yat Suryo, that all the great demigods and sages, they will become bewildered by the beauty of Krishna's Leela. So not only to Brahma, but Indra, Varuna, so many in the course of Krishna's Braj Leela, they did some activity which allowed them to get darshan of Krishna in that form. So now Brahma, after doing this Leela, he's seeing Krishna, and now he's experiencing all of these sanchari bhavs of having darshan of Krishna in this form. So some prayers he's speaking, he's having self-disparagement. This is called danya bhava, humility. "Oh, I made such a mistake. I didn't realize how great you were," etc., etc. Some he's glorifying Brijabhasis. "Aho bhagyam, nandavraja, vrajoksakam." So like this, he's going through so many different wonderful moods in his prayers. And these are the things that are very tasteful for devotees who are aspiring in this path of bhakti. How Brahma had the beauty of this vision, showing also that Vrindavan Leela, this Braj Leela of Krishna, is superior even to the Leela of Vaikuntha, because Brahma knows the Leela of Vaikuntha. He knows about Narayan. He knows about the power of Bhagavan. So his bewilderment in seeing the beauty of Krishna's Madhurya Mayi Leela, this is the real intrinsic thing that's for us trying to practice. This is the beauty of that.
Very nice. Yeah, definitely. And within this Leela, there are so many realizations that came about. And we can learn so many things, because even there was the misconception that Brahma himself was the supreme being. And all this would come out so nicely here. And we were able to understand definitely all the Lord's childhood pastimes and his greatness and so forth. So, of course, this is a wonderful pastime, and we should pay rapt attention. So I'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.